4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Did you forget to count? Just stop counting.
I thought that when we get to 5, you just sync it up. When we both say 5, I hit record. It'll work out. It'll be fine.
We're recording. It's all good.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. It's a rainy day.
Yeah. Really?
Man, we've had about 5 days of pretty heavy rain, and there's more forecast.
Oh. Wow.
So good.
We have not.
Really?
It's been sunny, really sunny over here.
It always surprises me when I hear that, because I always think of New Zealand as like really kind of wet.
Yeah. I mean, where I live, people are now saying, well, that's it. No more rain. It's going to be a drought. Oh, no rain till April.
Really?
Mm.
Is that like a thing? Is that legit?
It was last 2 years, yeah. It's been super droughty. Is that a word? Droughty.
I think it is now. How you been, man? Have you found that you've been pretty busy or what?
Yeah. Few weddings. I'm just looking at my calendar. What about... Oh, man, we haven't talked for a long time.
We just looked at where the last one was. Massive fail.
I have shot 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weddings since we spoke.
Gee.
So, yeah, pretty good. Been pretty busy. And all like nice big weddings, all a lot from COVID, people that had to postpone.
Have you found that... you just answered my question. So lots of the ones you're doing now are ones that did postpone from earlier in the year?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, and I noticed a common theme at... must have been three of them, where all the dates on all their stationery and everything was like the old date.
Oh yeah,
and they were so apologetic. They're like, oh, don't get the date in the photo. And I was like, oh, of course I'm definitely gonna get the date.
Kind of a cool story, like, yeah.
Tells the story, yeah.
It's funny how they worry about little things, and we're like, that's awesome. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, no, yeah. I don't want to get my dress dirty. You're like, come on, that's awesome.
Yeah, dress. Exactly. Yep. So no, it's been good. Yeah, actually, I've had a few really good shoots. I have felt like I needed to get out of my comfort zone a little bit because, you know, I'll speak for myself. After I haven't been shooting for a while, and then I'll shoot a couple of weddings, and I'll slip back into Greg, path of least resistance photography.
Yeah.
And I'll be at a wedding, and I'm like, ugh, I'm doing really boring stuff. I need to do something not boring. So I'll just try and like snap out of it.
How did you overcome that? Do you sort of issue yourself a challenge or something? Or do you just, by realizing that you're doing that, is that enough for you?
I usually just think, okay, what would Greg do? And then I'm like,
you do the opposite.
Yeah, okay. Exactly, yeah. And then what would Greg not do? Oh, he'd do this. And it's always a risk. Because you're like, oh, there's a reason why Greg doesn't do that. Mm. It's because he did it like in 2017, mm-hmm. and it didn't work. But no, generally, I just try and think, oh man, like what? How do I just do something completely different here? Like, if I've got the couple standing looking at me, whatever, I'll just go, oh, what would be just so un-Greg?
Just don't take a photo.
Yeah, I got this one. I did a wedding for a couple that I know, but not that well. Mm. But I knew a lot of the people at the wedding, and this one guy, he was giving me such a hard time because a lot of the day I'm shooting without looking through the viewfinder because it's, you know, the eye focus is working.
Yeah, yeah. Just so like you look over the top, yeah.
And he kept quoting the Austin Powers, like, "I'm not even looking, baby," or whatever really? It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was giving me a really hard time, and it made me aware that, oh wow, I do that a lot. I wonder if people have an opinion of me, of my style, because I'm not looking a lot when I'm taking photos.
Yeah,
I don't even think about it because it's like I'm just doing my job, like boom, boom, boom.
Have you shot at Benduli Estate, the place I'm at all the time?
I don't think I did, but okay. I've seen so many photos from there.
It's my, I don't know what you call it. It's like my, I'm just there so often.
It's your bread and butter.
Yeah, not just me. Like it's heaps of local togs bread and butter because they do so many weddings. But yeah, I'm there like in the last in the last 3 weeks, I've been there like 5 times or 4 times.
Oh, wow.
I've done a lot. This month I have 13.
You rock up there and you're like, I own this place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone throws rice at me and is like, they're like, thank you for returning, Tom. No, I feel really at home there. But the result is that, yeah, like exactly like you said, it's so easy to fall into the same old, like, okay, portrait time. Guess I'll do this again and this again and this again. And And while I'm not convinced that the client's mine, because they booked that venue because of those amazing portrait spots and, you know, the photos they've seen that I took there. So they kind of, to an extent, they want those images. But man, it just gets boring. So I was there last week and as I was driving there, I was like, look, Tom, listen, you are going to obviously do the spots people want, but every setup you do, you're going to do it differently to what you've ever done before. And I did it. It was really cool. Like, I put them in the same places, but it was so simple. Like, even where I would have taken a shot standing in one place, I simply moved back and I shot like through some leaves or whatever. And, you know, it's so simple. It's nothing revolutionary. But what it meant was that I was a bit more enthusiastic about the shots because they were different to what I'd done 100 times before.
Sure.
And then when I was editing, I was like, these are really good and different. They don't just look like the same stuff, you know. So it was really good. So I think it's good to like check yourself and step out of the zone of what you usually do. Try something new.
I was looking back at some photos from last February, and I find that in February I get so busy, probably not this February, but I get so busy that it's just a blur and I'm not thinking, hey, Greg, be creative. Hey, Greg, do something different. I'm just like, hey, Greg, survive.
Get the job done. February. Yeah, alive. Yeah, yeah. Be alive, yeah.
But man, some of the photos I take in that exhausted state, I just look back and I'm like, how on earth did I come up with that? Like, I've got this one photo of this couple on a cliff with the sky behind, not the couple, sorry, it's the whole bridal party on a cliff, blue sky behind. So you know how their bodies totally silhouette the sky?
Yeah.
Or are silhouetted by the sky. Mm. And the whole bridal party, the boys are turned 90 degrees from me, so they're side on, and they're all looking, say, to the right, and the girls are all looking to the left, but the couple are holding hands behind their backs. And I just looked at it, and I just went, what the who took that photo? I don't remember taking that photo. It's amazing.
How did I come up with something like that? You're forced to scrape the bottom of the barrel, and you often come up with good stuff.
Yeah, what's down at the bottom? It's gold nuggies, mate.
It's just nuggies that are sitting on them, stuck to the bottom.
That's why you got to pan for gold. It's the heavy stuff at the bottom.
The gold won't just come to you on the surface, my friend. The gold is,
We just had a nuggy.
We did, didn't we?
So tomorrow, actually, I've done it. You will definitely appreciate the risk I'm taking. Tomorrow, I've got a really fantastic opportunity to shoot a wedding down at the Chateau, which is the snow in the North Island of New Zealand.
Oh, awesome.
And I've done one there already this year, not long ago, like just a couple of months ago. And it's getting great now because the people know me, you know, it's not quite Ben Dooley, but, you know.
it's that vibe.
It's the vibe.
Yep.
And here's the part you will be dubious about. Okay. It's a four-hour drive.
You're setting this up for me like you know what I'm going to respond. I'm already
touching. Well, it's a four-hour drive
okay.
And then a five-hour shoot.
Okay.
So a shorter shoot, right? Okay. 5 hours. I'm starting at 3.
Okay.
I had the option of staying tonight, but I've got 3 weddings in a row. I've got Chateau, and then I'm back to do a wedding on Friday here where I live, Matakana.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I'm 2 hours north of here in Bay of Islands, Paihia.
Okay.
So I had to kind of figure out what nights I was staying. Yep. And the decision I made was I'll spend tonight at home.
Okay.
And I'm going to drive tomorrow and I'm going to leave like early, way earlier than I need to. And go do the drive, get there with like plenty of time, relax, check into the Chateau because I'm staying at the Chateau. And stay tomorrow night after the wedding and then drive back. I've got another 3 o'clock start on the Friday, so I'll have heaps of time to drive back in the morning.
Okay.
But it's on my mind that if anything would go wrong with my car, which it shouldn't, but I'm just thinking if anything goes wrong and I'm leaving tomorrow morning, you know, there's that element of what if. I think that typically you'd go the night before on a 4-hour drive.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I'd probably do the same thing as you with that wedding. I'd probably go the morning of. Like, your car's fine, man. And also, if you leave early and you leave enough time, what's the worst that can happen? Worst that happens is your car totally craps itself and you then...
Somewhere halfway and then I've got to ring them.
Or you, exactly. you call a taxi or something.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, it'd be shit, but you know.
No, the cost.
Oof. Oh, totally. But like, that's so unlikely that the car just like stops working.
Touch wood.
And then even if the car stopped working and you were driving the day before, you'd still have to do something like that.
Well, that's quite true. Yeah, I guess you've got a buffer, but I'm guessing like if I'm early enough, there are probably guests from the wedding traveling from around the region.
Yeah, you put a call
and
out.
Someone could swing by, pick me up.
You put a call out on the New Zealand like danger system, like there's some broadcast system with the speakers everywhere saying, photographer in trouble.
On the iPhone. Do you get that in Australia, the warning thing?
No. Well, I've never had one. I don't think so.
I think I've had two in New Zealand.
Disasters?
Yeah. One was a warning. A trial. Okay. Trial run. And I think one was to do with COVID. But I forget. But in America, you get them all the time. And you know what?
Amber Alerts. Is that what they are? They're like kids being abducted and stuff.
So that's right.
Hectic.
You get them for tornadoes and big things like that. And I've seen a lot because that's my whole thing is to be under a tornado. But... yeah, the ones for the abduction and missing people. Oh my God.
How many kids must go missing over there for them to have an actual system where it goes out to phones?
I don't know, Tom. I don't know. And it boggles. I don't know. Mm. Anyway, let's not even go there.
No.
Anyway, so no, I've been really, actually, to be fair, I've been very, very busy. And the weddings are good. I'm doing my editing. I'm back into kind of a normal workflow. Still got a few house chores to finish. Oh man, I bought a spa pool for $100.
Wow, really? That's awesome.
All the guy said was it worked in January, and I was like, I'm in. And so it was just down the road, so I bought it, $100, brought it home. It needed one little thing sealed up to seal the leak, and I have been having amazing hot spas ever
since. So good. Where'd you put it? On the balcony?
Yeah, on the deck, yeah.
Oh, wow. On the that's so good. So you can pump typo negative and sit in the spa.
You've got it.
That is the absolute dream.
So it's been fantastic. I love a good spa pool, and I've never owned one. So $100 is a good amount to sort of see if it's going to work with our lifestyle. And no, I have to say, I really, really like it. Kat was very against the whole notion of getting a spa. But she's been good about it. I wouldn't say she's come around, but she's been good.
It does smack of Bogan, doesn't it? Like when you get a spa, so you get a Malu as well.
I thought you were going to say it smacks of like excess and opulence.
No.
How about that? Look at that.
I think
completely different opinions.
I think it's the opposite. Like tiny house and a crap block with a massive spa and a massive V8 in the driveway or whatever.
V8. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've got a little bit of a different... Like, imagine a spa pool, you're like in the bush, surrounded by birds, and it's all nice, and it's natural.
That does sound pretty good.
You know, holding in the driveway.
In the driveway.
yeah. And you're good? You're just doing your thing?
Yeah, I've got same as you. I've got 13 weddings this month. Heaps of them are postponements and 12 in November. So yeah, I guess we haven't recorded in a while. Like I've just been absolutely flat out. But I've got really good systems going with editing. So I've done, cool. I think I've done 9 weddings already this month, and I've got 3 or 4 more this week or something. I can't remember. And my editing's totally up to date. And so my systems are really good. I'm loving my office setup. It's all good. Everything's good.
Good one, buddy.
I've got some really, really interesting things that I want to talk about, actually.
Do you want to do our giveaway first?
I think we should.
All right. I'm just going to let you take the lead on that.
Do you just want me to... Should I just let the cat totally out of the bag?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Do we need to do any little, like...
I'll do a little rehash. So our 100th episode is coming up soon, and that's if we manage to actually record it because we're pretty slow lately.
You're editing this, eh? Can you drop in wah, wah, wah,
the bah, 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 bah. Okay. I will.
Newsflash.
So we decided that we wanted to give something away, and you know, we basically...
Yeah, we were thinking like a t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, we had sponsors just like contacting us left, right and center saying, would you please, please give our stuff away? And we were like, oh, listen, we really want the best product for our listeners. Yeah. Now, anyway, so we've been developing a bit of a relationship with Fujifilm Australia, and we kind of touched on this last week where we talked about it, that they were going to come to the party and they were going to help us with a bit of a giveaway for our 100th episode. So I would now like to announce what that prize is. Drum roll. Can you give me a drum roll? That'll do. That'll do. The prize is a Fujifilm X100V, which is a pretty awesome little camera. I'm actually amazed that, like, I have it right here, ready to give away. It's a brand new camera that Fuji gave us. It's in its box. I haven't even opened it to look at it. I haven't even opened it to smell it. You know that new package smell when you get a new camera? Literally, it's like a brand new X100V, which even if you don't shoot Fuji, I mean, we don't shoot Fuji, but have you ever owned one of these cameras?
No, you know, I never have. And I used to really, really want one of those Fuji 100. What was the old 100?
It'll be the S or the R.
S.
There's been a lot of iterations of it.
Oh, I really, really, really wanted one. But in those days, it was just a bit over the top to have like a nice camera like that as well as my gear. So, but I love them.
I mean, I think that, if you're listening to this and you're a wedding photographer or if you're a street photographer, a landscape photographer, basically this camera, the X100 series by Fuji, it can go in anyone's kit. Anything that you shoot, whether you're a professional or enthusiast, you will benefit from a camera like this. And I really don't think there are any other cameras on the market that really do this job so well. This X100V is awesome. It has incredible film emulation filters built in. It can fit in your pocket. It's so nice to look at. Like, it looks really old school. So I reckon I'm stoked that we get to give this away. In fact, I kind of want to keep it for myself.
I know. Yeah, me too. And it's worth, I mean, I'm just looking up a very, very prominent New Zealand camera website, and it's $2,386.
They're not cheap, man.
So this is a huge prize.
So this is so we'll give this away on our 100th episode. The only thing we don't know yet is how we're going to get you guys to enter this competition. So we're planning on figuring that out in the next few days, and then the next episode we record will tell you how you can actually win it. Yeah. Whether it involves, we have no idea. But
Tom, this is kind of putting you on the spot. Did we decide on if we're limiting it to people in New Zealand and Australia, or is it people all over the world?
I think that we talked about this, and I think your response was, whatever, we'll just make it worldwide. I think that's what you had responded, and that's fine with me.
Yeah, okay. So any listener.
Pretty much any listener in the world.
We'll pay the freight.
We'll pay the freight, and you can enter. We don't know how yet, but you can enter, and then if you win, then
you're in it. You're in the money. What if the listeners came up with ideas on how to win it?
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea, and would result in us outsource. Doing less work.
Less work. I like this.
You tell us how you think we should run this competition.
All right, and we'll in the Facebook post we'll make mention of that.
Exactly.
Okay, good idea, Tom. That I like delegation, and I like not doing things.
Love those things.
You know this camera X100V. The thing about a camera like this for a wedding photographer that's in the trenches, these kind of cameras are so different to your Canon. If anyone's using a Mark IV or the new mirrorless or the Sony's. They're just so different to hold. They feel like a photo holiday.
They do. They make you want to take photos. I agree that new gear and better gear doesn't make you a better photographer, but also changing up your gear can totally change your perspective on what you're doing and make you just more interested in doing certain angles and can reinvigorate you to shoot. So it's such a good camera to have in your kit. Let's say you have to go, let's say you have to walk a really long way to a ceremony and you don't want to take your third backup camera, so you just chuck this X100 in your pocket. So if one of your cameras does die, you always have a camera there in your pocket just in case the worst were to happen and, one or two of your cameras died. Yeah, I love that in the trenches, man, because that's how I feel sometimes at weddings.
Tom, what is it, the black one or the black and grey?
I think it's the black and grey, the silvery one.
Oh, I so hope so.
So sexy. I'm pretty sure it is.
You definitely want the black and grey one.
So hot. I've owned a black and grey one, and I've owned a black and black one.
And when you got the black and black on, you're like, it's good.
I'm not going to lie to you. I love the black and black. It's sexy. Yeah.
Okay, this is good. So we'll put it over to the listeners. A cool way to win. The idea that I've had kicking around would be that it's an actual photo competition. So take this kind of photo and chuck it on the Facebook page and tag us and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I just want to make sure that in our, if we're judging, I just want to make sure that there's zero. I don't know. I don't want to like somehow be accidentally biased against the photographer with a cool beard or whatever. Like I just want to make sure that the competition is purely based on the actual image.
The image could not be of a cat, for example.
Well, see that's the problem. That would just get +10 points straight away.
What if they were only cats?
Oh my goodness. Well,
that's actually not silly.
Mind blown. What happens if you don't have a cat? How would you just go find one?
Nah, you have to have a cat to win this. People should know that by now.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. I want to know, do you have any any nuggety, like snap downies things that you'd like to
nuggety goodness
drop down?
Yeah, I got a good one.
Because I've been banging on for a while, so...
I'll have a go.
You go first.
I have three, Tom.
This is going to turn into an extended Snapdown episode, which I'm very happy about.
Ah, good stuff. All right, here's the deal. Okay. You heard, if you haven't heard of them, well, I don't know where you've been living, the Archipelago preset company.
Like Tribe Archipelago, right?
Tribe Archipelago.
Mate.
Yeah.
Mate, come on.
Tribearchipelago.com.
Yep.
Cat, I was saying to Cat the other day, I was like, maybe I just need to like get a really basic preset, just like one of these run-of-the-mill wham bam thank you ma'am presets, and just like try it out, mm-hmm. learn a bit from it, whatever. And Kat's like, oh yeah, the Tribe Archipelagos are on special right now, so the Celestial preset and the Light, oh no, Light Leaks is on special, but I got a different one for $50, which looks like it's, oh there it is, Summit. I got Summit and Celestial, which are both cool, like when you look at them. The Celestial one looks like it has artifacts built in, but it doesn't. It's just the way that cover photo is. So anyway, I bought those super presets and I was like, yeah. And if you look at them, the Celestial one, of the two, I thought, oh, actually, no, I lie. It wasn't the Celestial one that I liked. Of the two, the Summit, I thought, yeah, there's some shots in there that I can get behind. So I was like, cool, I'll get both of those. $100. I had a bit of money on PayPal.
Yep.
Tom, what do you think happened? I thought you'd know straight away.
You realize tell you crap.
What happened. Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
This is what I've written in my podcast ideas thing that I go through. Bought presets, all junk.
Yep.
So on the preset page for Tribe, they look amazing.
Don't they just?
You know, they just look like, if I had this preset, I'm going to be conquer
the
world.
Yeah, it's the last thing you need to make your business just all conquering beast.
Yeah, put me over the edge, 100 million bookings, fending people off.
Yep.
Put it on like the...
just imagine you playing rugby, like holding your preset, like palming off all these attackers. Yeah,
brides.
Yep. Ugh.
Put it on the photo I was currently working on, and it was just horrible.
Yep.
Looked like all the skin tones were crap. Yep. The greens were junk. The yellows were crap. Went back to my trusty preset that I've, you know, honed over the years. And I was like, oh yeah. Hello. Hello you. Hello, old faithful. It's a pain, man. It's a pain. And I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. To be fair, on one of the because you get about 12, six and another six or something, and on one of them, I did take the color tones from one and created a new one with all my other stuff and its color tones. A
bit better.
And I was like, yeah, okay.
It's like a Franken preset. Mine's a
Franken preset.
My preset that I made for myself is a bit of a Franken preset. Yep.
So how do you feel about that?
Okay, so look, I agree with you. I mean, what made you were you just sort of looking what was out there to see if you could improve on yours, or what made you actually do this from the start?
Yeah, good question. I think it was a case of getting bored and making a few adjustments in mine and being like, ah, oh, it's just not quite doing what I want it to do in one particular light, you know, scene. And then maybe seeing some other, you know, photogs with their presets and just being like, that's a good look.
Man,
I want that.
How bad is that jealousy of, when you're on Insta or whatever, well, you don't really use Insta very much, but you see someone's, you see a photo by some European or North American photographer, you're like, oh, massive preset lust. Like, oh,
sure.
His colors
absolutely.
Are so nice. You're like, my colors are shit.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, but then you get the preset and you're like, oh. Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for the light where you are and the colors of the nature, the environment, are actually quite specific.
Yep. There's something else I think that when you go on a website and look at a preset that you could buy, you're looking at the images that it's being tested on that they're showing you. Those images are like highly curated and they're all perfect. They're all, any preset is going to look good on those images. So the most dog ugly preset in the world will probably look good on it because it was shot, the couple is really attractive, the light is perfect, and the location is usually like a high alpine lake in like the Dolomites or something, or like some amazing, amazing pine forest in like in the, somewhere in the States. So, you know, if you bring it to your local...
even a junk rubbish preset is going to look amazing.
Man, the shots look great out of the camera. Like, if you bring it to... We all know as working photographers that 95% of situations don't give you that holy grail scenario of incredible location, incredible light, and an incredibly photogenic couple. So any preset in the world, it's not going to transform your images. I've thought that as well. I've done exactly the same as you. In fact, I've bought some of the Tribe presets quite a while ago to try this. And then I had exactly the same reaction. I was like, this is not what I was expecting. My photos are not instantly incredible like I thought they would be.
I wonder on those presets. So they've got the raw image and they apply the preset. This is, and then they're going to advertise that image to me using, you know, this preset on this image. I wonder what other adjustments they do. They must do exposure, right?
And I would say white balance.
White balance, exposure.
Yep. Probably at the minimum, those two. Yeah.
You wonder what else is just subtly tweaked to make them look.
And then they have
amazing.
That slider thing where you can slide left and right over the
image.
I
am just smashing that slider right now.
It's so deceptive.
And I'm like, Okay,
so the Greg summary is what's your takeaway?
I guess
for
what's
our
that
listeners?
Caveat? No, what's the buyer beware caveat?
Yeah, caveat emptor. Yep.
Buyer beware. A preset's not gonna. And I think Tom, you went through this like a year ago, where you realized if you're gonna really know about presets, you got to start making your own.
You got to make one. Yep.
You got to get into the nitty gritty and.
And you can totally take cues from presets. Like, look at a preset you like and be like, I really like this part. So, like, I for so many years used a Visco Film Portra 400. So, my current preset has some of the HSL slider adjustments, the color adjustments from the Portra 400, because I really liked those. So, I used some of them. So, yeah, if you're shooting a lot of, say, weddings, like, do you want to use an out-of-the-box preset that some other guy has? I would say no. After a while, you want your own preset, your own look. So,
That's kind of the way I developed my preset, was that I started with something years ago, and then each light scene or each wedding, I'd just tweak something, and I'd save it as, you know, Greg's amazing preset version 2.
I've done the same thing. And then final preset. Final amazing preset.
Final. It would be like final, this year. Final. Even this year, I have Greg, what is it? Color preset 2020 final. And then I've got 2020 final less red or something.
Exactly the same thing.
Okay. That's that. So okay, cool. In the end, like, I'll probably refer to those. Like, now I've probably bought 3 sets of presets. Like, I've got a whole bunch of what was the one you just mentioned, Tom? The
Visco.
Got a whole bunch of Viscos. I've got a couple of those Archipelago Tribe ones. And a while ago, I'm just trying to edit a photo here so I can see. I bought a whole other set of presets because there was like one of those, oh, they're worth $1,000, but yeah, today only it's $50. And I was like, oh, shit. I got yeah, $50. And they were called the Brixton Film.
Yeah, right.
They're quite popular, I guess, quite famous. And to be fair, the Brixton Film, you get so many. You get like hundreds. All of... But see, I go onto one of their black and whites and I'm instantly like, wow, that looks great.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I have taken some cues from some of the Brixton ones. There was a sunset one and the yellows were so yellow.
Mm.
And I was finding my yellows were coming out a bit peach.
Mm.
And so I stole their color adjustments and added them on and made like a Greg 2020 yellow.
Franken preset. Greg 2020, yeah.
You can take a little bit. I guess it's kind of like when you're reading some of those self-help books or if you go to a photography workshop, you're not going to learn a whole new set of information, but you can cherry pick a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here.
Mm. Nice one, bro.
That was a good rant.
Okay.
I have one really tiny one.
Go.
Listen. A7 III.
Mm-hmm.
Silent shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Do use it.
I'm too scared to. Because I don't trust it, but I know that's silly.
Yeah, it's silly. I will tell you some information and you will feel more confident.
Okay.
It is silly to use it with artificial lighting.
Yep. Like indoors at a reception or whatever.
Indoors, reception, never use it.
Yep.
If you're in natural lighting, from my experience, there is no change to the files.
Okay.
However, man, does it make a difference when you're at a quiet outdoor ceremony and you're in silent shooting mode? I would say now almost all ceremonies where possible, I have it turned on to the point where I've actually added it as a, like a My Menu item.
Right. Yeah, I've done that as well, actually. I've tested it out, but I haven't used it like a lot at weddings.
Mm-hmm. I would say, Tom, I highly recommend at your next wedding, outside, natural light. Even inside, if you know it's natural light, because some places, it's streaming.
I've actually got a wedding this afternoon, a 2-hour wedding, so I can crank the silent. I've been meaning to. I tried it out, and you see the screen flash when it takes a photo, and then I realized I was taking so many photos because I wasn't hearing a click. I was shooting too much. So anyway, I'll try it.
I think that for engagement shoots as well, really good because it's less like bang, bang, bang.
That's a good idea.
It's softer. More subtle.
Mm.
So yeah, I would say if you've got an A7 or if you've got any of the cameras, put it on your like shortcut place.
Okay.
And just start using it. Yeah, but not with artificial light unless you've got the Savage A9, which to be fair, like I use this silent shooting so much now, I'm kind of thinking maybe I want one.
There you go. Next episode, Greg has A9s.
No. What do you got for us, Tom?
Okay, I got heaps of interesting stuff. I wonder if I should bang on about it all now. Okay, I'll start with a few things.
Spread it out, mate.
Okay, first of all, this is my experience. If you haven't updated to Lightroom 10, don't do it. So there's a bunch of bugs that have been acknowledged by, they're sort of all over Adobe forums and all over Facebook and stuff. It seems to be really slow and really, really hard to use. And even on a really fast machine, like definitely slower than 9.4, which is the old one. Also, there's a really, really bad... I don't know if you use Smart Previews. I don't think you do, do you?
I 100% use Smart Previews.
Okay, do you add grain to your... You add grain in your photos, don't you?
I add 5.
Okay. What seems to happen is that, let's say you add... Whatever grain you add, if you update to 10 and you're using the Smart Previews to edit, that grain will look like it's at about 100. Like it renders the grain...
Oh, it's just an error.
Yeah, it must just be a glitch. I've talked to various people and they're all seeing the same thing. If you don't use Smart Previews, it won't matter, but using Smart Previews, it makes it virtually unusable. So I highly recommend you don't upgrade to Lightroom 10 until they patch it or until they fix it.
Okay.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, I did a poll in the Facebook group about, I wanted to know about where people got most of their inquiries.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw it. You didn't vote in it, so I don't think you might have seen it. Classic Greg.
Such a snob.
Okay, so here's where the people who voted, here's where most people get their work from. 31% get their work, most of their work from word of mouth. So from past clients. So, your bride that you shot last year says, hey, your friend's getting married. Oh, yeah, check my photographer out. He's awesome. That's a pretty high number for word of mouth, I thought. 21% get most of their work from Google. Another 21% get most of their work from Instagram. 10% get most of their work from Facebook.
Wow.
8% get most of their work from vendor referrals. So, you know, makeup artists directly from venues, from videographers or whatever. 6% get most of their work from referrals from other photographers. And then there was a few other little ones that were like under 1%. So I don't know if we're at 100% there. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
You better be.
Not really. There's a few off.
Anyway. I'm going to do a pie chart and it's just going to be ruined.
Well, someone ate a bit of the pie. But I thought that was really interesting because I wanted to see where people kind of decided to put most of their marketing effort. So word of mouth, I would argue, is one of the best ways to get work because people are literally saying, he did a great job for me. And so I think you should trust him as well. That you can't get better than that, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. Interesting, Tom. A last minute change to word of mouth. Looks like someone new has just voted.
Thereby throwing out all my percentages.
Are you word of mouth or more Insta?
Most of my work comes from Google right now.
Oh, Google?
It was Insta. But then COVID came along and screwed with this. So I think
what do you mean by Google?
I mean generic Google searches. So Southern Highlands wedding photographer.
Natural, organic result.
Exactly. Not a paid one. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's right. So I thought that was really interesting.
That is very interesting.
I know I don't mean to rush through my things. I just want to get them out. What was the next thing? Okay. Remember a few weeks ago, I decided to try the 28mm f2?
Yes.
Okay, I bought it. I can confirm it is much shitter than the 24 1.4, which was to be expected. So it's fine, apart from two things. The first thing is the field of view, it's a little off. Like it's obviously it's a 28, not a 24, and it's not a 35, it's a 28. So it's like this weird, you're just not used to the point of view, the field of view. It's not terrible, but it's not incredible.
Yeah.
It would be fine, again, for a scenario where you really, really, really needed to go really, really light. I think you could get away with it. The main problem is the barrel distortion is out of control. Like straight lines, just curving everywhere.
Okay.
Can totally be fixed in post, but a little bit annoying. So I definitely rate that lens like, you know, like a 5 out of 10. Like I would say it's not great, but it's fine.
Okay.
There you go. There's my review of the 28 F2, the Sony.
So is it going to stay in your camera bag?
I think I'll keep it for times where I don't want to lug the 24 around, which is not even very big. But when I really, really, really want to go really light, like when I'm traveling or whatever, then I'll keep it for that sort of stuff. Because I don't use the 24 for much, just for reception and dance floor.
Did you see, I'm just, anything? Yeah. You're finished? All good?
Oh, I'm finished on the 28, yeah.
I'm just going to add a little Martin Allard. Did you see his comment 18 hours ago?
Oh, was it about the jawline thing?
Can we get a neck and jawline update report?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't understand what he was talking about.
Remember last week? I've got the jaws of size.
Oh, the jaws of size. That's right.
Martin.
What a
That's
cheeky.
The first time. I've just seen that for the first time now.
Yes.
I'll give an update after Tom's mammoth bombardment of snap downs.
Just giant nuggets of silvery goodness dropping. I've got one more little thing. So I'm currently recording this on a Mac Pro. So it's not a new Mac Pro because those things are out of control expensive. It's the 6.1, I think it's called. It's the 2013 Mac Pro. This one was bought more recently than that. But yeah, I just didn't want to keep using my laptop plugged into the screen for the whole time. So I found this barely used Mac Pro from, again, it's the 2013, but I think they were still making these and they were still selling them last year. So
they're still a current model
machines. Yeah. So this is a beast, man. This is a 10 core 3 gigahertz Xeon X5. and it has 64 gig of RAM, and it has two 6 gig GPUs. And I'm so happy with it. So like I was going to buy either an iMac or I was going to get a Mac Mini. And yeah, I decided to get this instead. It looks so cool on my desk. Like I feel super superior using it. It's awesome.
Would it be the fastest computer you've used?
It's the fastest I've used, but a new iMac probably would be faster because they have like a new i7 or a new i9 iMac probably would be faster, but it obviously doesn't have 10 cores, probably only has 6 or 8 cores, whatever. So this machine, when exporting, just absolutely rips anything that uses multi-cores. So yeah. apparently Final Cut rips on it because it uses both of the GPUs as well.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, but... Anyway.
Hey, interestingly, I thought I'd just tell you because I've got an external GPU. So I've got, people might not know, I've got a Apple Mac Mini, the best one you can get with the most cores and all that stuff. And then I've got an external GPU. When I'm editing in Lightroom and I'm doing like, what's it called? The Q brush.
The clone
and heal.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And I'm like painting stuff. I can hear the GPU like going,
ticks.
Yeah,
like it's working.
No. But it's good. It's working. It's like the fan and the whatever. It's like working hard. So it's really cool. You can tell that it's really like
crunchy.
You know, offloading all that. Processing.
If you're gonna have a Mac Mini, I think, and you want to do a lot of editing, I think you really do need one of those external. Because I looked at those as well.
Yeah. No, I've kind of bit the bullet on that, and I know that everyone's kind of got their way of achieving the same goal, but I've been very happy with the setup.
Oh man, if it works for you, there's so many ways you can like achieve the perfect editing workstation. Yeah.
I got another little snap there.
Bring it, mate.
Okay, listen. So I'm trying to remember. Yeah, so I've got two Sonys, so I got three, but I only use two. One thing I did is I went into the settings and like 45 minutes later, I found what I was looking for. And what it was I've renamed the file names on each camera.
Oh, so they're not like different. ARW.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good idea.
One's GCA and one's, so that's my 35mm. And then on the 135, GCB.
Okay.
And then I went to Cat's cameras and went CCA, CCB. Okay. And what it means is that there's just no risk of ever having the same file number.
Because they potentially could, right? They could duplicate. In fact, I think I've had that.
Every now and then it happens.
That's a good idea.
So, yeah, I thought that was quite a good idea. And I also went in at the same time and changed all my copyright stuff, made sure my name was in there. And
Another reason that's good is, I guess this would involve you'd have to name your cameras as well. Like you'd have to put a little thing saying which camera was which. But if you consistently notice a problem with the files from one of the cameras, even if it's like there's a big bit of dust on that camera's sensor, you can then easily identify which camera that is happening on. You could be like, I need to clean that camera's sensor.
See, for me, I have my 35-135 and the 135 never leaves the camera.
Wow.
And then the 35, I just swap out for a 16-35 for like family shots. Uh-huh. And then on the dance floor, you know, I use one of those little light ones.
Oh, that's like it. The Samyang or whatever?
Yeah, I got the Samyang 35mm. So that's my workflow. Like the 135 is always on the camera. So I always know which is which.
Man, I wish I could do that.
You could probably do like 85 just on one, couldn't you?
Oh, no, I just need the 135 for the ceremony and then I go back to 85 for the fortune. Lens changing demon, man.
I could
dust in my cameras.
Ugh, if it wasn't for the big family shoots, I could definitely do 35-135 all day.
Mm.
It's just those big family shoots. It's nice to be able to crank it out.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
I could just use a drone for all those, but you know the thing about a drone is you can't go like photo like you know, the shutter has a bit of a delay or a...
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It
takes like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So you can't just go...
Yeah, no, you can't. Yeah, no. Yeah. I got nothing, man. I got nothing else. It's me. It's me tapped out.
Me too.
I mean, we have been talking for 50 minutes, my friend.
Jeez.
Have we? Yep.
You got a new like camera gear you're looking at?
I mean, not really. I mean, the 28 F2, what else? No, not really. I've been pretty good. I haven't bought anything. I mean, I'm looking forward to the A7 IV whenever that comes, but there's no hurry. My A7 IIIs are just plowing along. They can't fault them. They're great.
Yeah, I agree.
Every now and again, I'm editing and I'm looking at the files. I'm like, man, I really like these files. I don't know why some people think that the skin tones aren't nice. Like, they're fantastic. So,
I think I could go back, if all my kit got stolen and I had to repurchase, I would be seriously considering the Canon option.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's not enough for you to sell your kit. No.
Mm. It would probably come down to weight.
Man, those cameras are too heavy. And the lenses, they're so heavy.
The lenses are too heavy.
It's just ridiculous.
It is, yeah. I'm trying to think if you could get a pancake or something, but we still have to have professional lenses.
I think you got to ask yourself, what I keep asking myself is it going to make me a better photographer? Are those cameras going to make me produce better images? And the answer I come back to is no.
Like, yeah.
Not.
Yeah, I feel the same.
But each
the eye focus, I get quite a few like old mates come up to me and they're like, oh, shooting Sony. And I'm like, yeah, you shoot Canon, but the eye focus. And they're like, what do you mean the eye focus? Yeah, and I show them.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And they're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, because like, you know, when the couple coming back up the aisle and you lock on one of their eyes, and then like you said before, you just don't have to look at the thing. You just hold it down. You know they're in focus. It's so good.
And to be fair, everyone that owns a Canon R whatever is like going, they can do it too.
Well, they do have it now, don't they?
And I've seen that it's very good. It's just that Sony just got in there
a
little bit earlier and it was when I needed to upgrade. So
I don't want to have the lenses are just like the 85 1.2. Okay, it's a 1.2. I get that, but it's too big, man. No.
And there isn't a 35mm R lens yet, eh?
There's a 1.8 or I think it's a 1.8 or an F2, which is actually look pretty nice size.
Oh yeah, there is a 1.8.
But
yeah.
there's no top end one yet. And I don't believe there's a 24, like a high end 24 yet either. And there's no 135 yet.
35mm 1.8 macro IS. Mm. Oh, it's an STM lens as well.
I did read some rumor that Canon might be making a 135, and it was either a 1.4 or a 1.6. It was some insane. But the problem is, man, okay, that's going to be $4,000, and that is going to weigh so much. That's going to be like a 2 kilogram lens. So no thank you for me.
I know. You used the 135 with an R body, eh?
I did. I have.
With the little adapter?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, great or...
No, it's great.
Flawless.
That Canon adapter, I don't know about flawless. I haven't tested it that exhaustively, but that Canon adapter for Canon lenses on the Canon EOS R bodies is like supposed to be really good. So no, I wouldn't say flawless, but it's very good. It's way better than using them on the Sonys.
It's terrible on the Sony.
Unusable.
Unusable. I used to use it in manual focus. You know what? That's what I'm going to do at the wedding tomorrow. I'm going to take my adapter and I'm going to take a whole bunch of Canon lenses that just kick around and try and get some sweet like artifacts and stuff.
And then report back.
Mm, and I'll be like, listen.
It was crap.
All right, dude. Martin, I forgot to report back about the jawline. I mean, to be fair, I have not used it at all. Have not used it. It's sitting up there mocking me. Only used it live on the air last time, yeah. So I'll have to like put it... I'll get it down now. Hold on.
Make it snapping, man. That's what you can do. Make your jaws slice snapping.
Here we go. I'm getting it down. I'm putting it on my computer down there. I cannot miss it now. There we go. Next time.
Do it, bro.
Editing? I'm going to do it. All right, dude, let's call it a day.
Cool, man. Good to chat with you. And hey, everyone, go to our iTunes and review us. Thank you.
Make that snappin'.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's what they can make snappin'.
I'll do it. Hey, everyone. Don't go to iTunes. That's not what I thought you were going to say. Go to Facebook and tell us how want to win the Fuji camera.
Yes. As in, maybe, tell us what the competition could be like.
Maybe Tom could do a poll. Ooh, yes, Tom.
So I'll post the episode link, and then maybe tomorrow or the next day, I will post a poll as to how people can.
Do it straight away.
I'll do it right now.
Don't wait.
Well, because people don't know. No one on Facebook knows the competition prize yet. I feel like they need to know the prize yet first.
Oh, it'll give it away.
Yeah. Okay. So then maybe in a few days.
All right. Listen, don't spoil it for other people.
Well, maybe you do.
Oh, suckers. All right, Tom. I'll leave it in your careful hands.
All right, bro. You have an amazing day.
You too, buddy. Ciao.
See you.
Bye.